This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Joy 94.9. You are on the Fabulous Escape Hour, and today it's so close to Christmas, we're talking turkey.
But not
until
the dish, the Christmas dish that we sidle up with cranberries. We're talking turkey as in the Republic.
What a gorgeous
named
country
after
that is.
Atatürk.
Yes.
And we have a special guest who is Turkish.
We do. We have a gorgeous young fellow on the show today. His name's Josh Kun. I'm sorry, Josh Kun. Oh, you're going to kill me by the end of the show. I'm not good with names. I'm good with everything else but names. Josh Kun. And Josh Kun operates a beautiful restaurant in Balaclava called Tulum. Welcome to our show, Josh.
Thank you very much.
So, Josh Kun, Tulum as a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily just what people would perceive as Turkish food, kebabs and dips.
Yes.
Talk to us about your offer, because it's quite a special offer. It's got a very meaningful...
I moved to Australia almost three and a half years ago.
Yeah.
So before I opened the restaurant, I always wanted to open a Turkish restaurant. As a Turk and a chef, even like when I was studying in London, and people keep asking... You know, when they keep asking where I'm from, I said, oh, Turkey. And they said, oh, we love kebabs and we love dips. But, you know, as a Turk and as a chef, I thought, you know, we have to do something about this.
Yeah, if you've heard that once, you've heard that a thousand times.
Millions right? times.
Yeah, but fair enough. They're very good kebabs. They're very good dips.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
We're not going
but
to shit on
more.
The dip.
Exactly.
And so...
So when I moved here, and so I wanted to open my own contemporary modern Turkish Anatolian restaurant, which is kebabs and dip free. So there's no kebabs, no dips in my restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you're out there. Mm-hmm.
And also I call Tulum, so people also think that I'm running a Mexican restaurant. But it's what I do at Tulum. It's a connection between me and my mother. So Tulum is a Tulum cheese.
Yes.
It's a kind of sheep's milk cheese, semi-matured, and kept in the sheepskin under the caves. Beautiful, creamy, and salty kind of cheese.
Yum.
And so it's the reason that I call Tulum is because, especially in Anatolia, the mothers have to work, and the fathers, guess where they are?
Eating cheese?
No, they're in a coffee shop, have a Turkish coffee and gossip all day.
So they natter and prattle onto each other while the women are working.
Yeah, mothers have to work. And so I was waiting for mum like all day. And then when she's home, before she cooked for the entire family, she was giving me a Tulum cheese, bit of olive oil, pita bread. It's like heaven.
Sounds nice.
But so that's why I call Tulum.
Okay. So not only is that a connection with your mum, the whole ethos behind the restaurant is a connection to your mum as well, isn't it?
Yes, it's whatever we do there, especially for the food wise. It's all about me and my mum.
So your mum. Has she been to the restaurant?
No.
Not yet?
No, not yet.
You're going to have to get her to come out.
It's on my list, yes, top of my list.
So what is it that makes her such a special cook? Is it because she cooks things from a particular region of Turkey? Because talk about Turkey's diversity. It's something that I've...
Yeah.
It's not limited to dips and...
No, I mean, like, we have seven regions in Turkey, mm-hmm. and each region have their own, you know, dishes and the food and the culture. And also probably next year on my birthday, which is 25th July, we will release our cookbook. So it's all about the seven regions and seven recipes. So the message is that we want to send around. And so how different is the Turkish food is that what people knows about it. And so hopefully next year it will be on.
That sounds fantastic. So what's the big dish at the moment that you're cooking at Tulum that everyone's going to walk in the door and demand to have?
Is it Tulum cheese?
It's on our list, definitely. If anyone is ordering anything, so it's one of the order. But the biggest one, which is we call it chilba. Yeah. Traditionally, it's it's actually a breakfast dish.
Ah, okay.
And again, like, you know, my mom so used to make for us. It's basically, it's just what she used to do for me. It's just whipped yogurt with a little bit garlic, poached eggs, a little bit butter, like butter sumac, and paprika sauce on top with the pita bread. So all you have to do is just dip it in.
That sounds really yummy,
doesn't
it?
What's butter crumble?
Yeah, so what, you know, there's the connection between me and my mother. So I still do Turkish, traditional Turkish or my mom's recipes, but we play with the flavor and make it modern. So I still do like a whipped yogurt, but we smoke the yogurt. And instead of poached yogurt, we just cook the eggs, which is like 62 degrees for an hour. It's like it's perfectly poached eggs. And then we still use this sumac and paprika butter. But on top is the brown butter crumble. So which is the milk powder with the butter just cooked together. And it's become like a crumble, like a pastry. But it's all tastes like butter. And then served with crispy chicken skin on top.
It sounds so good. I haven't eaten yet today.
I'm thinking of Turkish food. So, yeah, this is quite a departure from a bunch of dips and bread. You've got a lot of vegetarian food too, which will please a lot of people because vegetarianism is people eating less and less meat.
Yeah.
So what brought on such a large vegetarian part of the menu?
At the moment, I mean, it's this... It's also we use seasonal ingredients, but at the moment it's almost like finishing the celeriac. So it's, we use lots of celeriac and lots of the leeks. Again, like because of the region, so that's from the aging part, so aging region. And it's you know, like we're close to the also Greek islands, so it's based on olive oil. So we braise the celeriac with lots of olive oil and orange juice. And also some onion, obviously, and then just slow cook with carrot, and then, like, you know, serve it as one of our mezes.
Wow.
So there's lots of leeks, beetroot with mastic yogurt. So there's so many vegetarian
alternatives. Do you know what mastic is?
No, I don't.
Explain mastic. I know because of Lebanon, but you explain mastic. You would be much more poetic than I will be.
It's coming from the Greeks. So there's a Greek island, and it's called also mastika. Uh-huh. And so we, in especially in Turkey, that part of Turkey, so we use either like sweet, making like pastries or desserts, or sometimes like you could see on the screen at the moment. So we use that for making desserts.
It's plant resin, Russ, and it's chewy. So in Lebanon, they use it to make chewing gum.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and also like pudding kind of thing. So I'm imagining this is very similar to...
exactly the same.
The word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you handle mastic?
So because it's like a hard, like a crystal shape, so all you have to do just powder it if you want to use it with the sweet dishes. So just powder it with the sugar and then use in milk or cream to infuse it.
Right.
So it's quite an interesting flavour.
So, Judge Kun, is there a big Turkish population here in Melbourne and they've come to Tulum and they've gone, wow, this is... so different and so unique. We love it. Have you had a good reaction to it?
Yes, we have so many Turkish guests that we have. So when we serve any of our dishes, when they look at it, mate, this is not Turkish. And then when they start tasting, they say, oh my God, it's exactly what my mom used to make, but it's a different take on.
Yeah.
And actually, we had it's last Thursday night, we had a young Turk that's her birthday.
Yes.
And she was actually crying, like seriously crying because she
misses her parents.
Yeah.
And, no, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's great, like, connection between...
Was it because she got the bill?
We won't go there.
Say no. No.
Hope not.
So Turkey is a huge country, and you're from Anatolia. So what region is that exactly?
I mean, I was born in Istanbul.
Oh, good.
And raised, but my mum, she's from Çanakkale, which is, you know, the Gallipoli.
Yes.
Ah. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's where she's from. But I was, as I said, born in and raised in Turkey.
Right.
In Istanbul.
In Istanbul.
Oh, yeah, lucky thing. It's a beautiful city. It really is.
Yeah, very big.
Yes.
Busy, noisy city.
I was talking to Josh Kuhn before the show, and every time I go there, I'm so mesmerised by the Blue Mosque and Hagia Sophia. There is something about those buildings that draws you back there every time. We're going again next September.
Are you?
And, I've just got this thing about there is some sort of – it sounds weird, and I will go there. It's just some sort of weird inner peace in those buildings that's really very unique to those buildings, and it does draw you in. So, I love going back to Istanbul for that reason. And not to mention, I did discuss with Josh Kuhn the fish sandwiches down by the
talk to me about fish. I love a sandwich.
You go, girl.
I love a sandwich. Talk to me about fish sandwiches. Are they fried? Tell me about the fish sandwiches.
So it's you know, it's just and the fish. It's on the Bosporus.
Yeah.
And it's freshly catched. And all they have to do is just pan fried, and when it's done, just put a piece of bread with red onion, flavored with sumac, so that's give extra like sour, like lemony flavor.
Yeah,
and some greens. So just you can eat that looking to the Bosphorus and smell the sea. So that's makes a big difference.
It's extraordinary how many people line up for those sandwiches.
Mm. So it's a bit like a Bunnings experience.
Yeah, it is.
Getting your sausage in.
That's right. Yeah, they don't do the sausage in the bread. It's fish in a roll. It's fantastic.
So it's beautifully fresh caught fish.
Yeah.
Pan fried. In a roll or bread?
It's a bread, Turkish bread.
Turkish bread.
Yeah.
And a little bit of salad, a little bit of red onion and...
Flavoured with sumac.
Sumac. Now, a lot of people don't know what sumac is. We were talking about that off air.
Yeah.
What is sumac?
Most people think it's a powder, actually, but it's actually a seed. It's a red... red color seeds, and so it's especially in our culture we use that for especially with the fish or flavor with salads, and also one of the drink. So you just mix it with water and a little bit of sugar, so it's become like a nice summery.
So how do you describe sumac best? It's quite citrusy, isn't it? Like people think there's lemon.
It's,
or associated with lemon.
I mean, it's like instead of using lemon juice, you can add that onto your dish to give the same flavor, but extra. It's quite unique. It's not just like acidic. It just has its own unique flavor.
Mm.
Just kind of, you've always been a foodie.
Yes,
you have. So you.
Was.
You're in the right industry, and I did hear you say before that you went and studied in London as a chef. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, when I was in Istanbul, I knew that I want to be a chef, but I just didn't want to be just a chef. I want to be one of the best chef. So I thought, okay, all I have to do is just go to London for studying food and wine and get some experience.
And you got something else while you're there.
And yes, I met someone else. Someone.
Get out of town.
Well, now I'm hot.
He's blushing.
He is blushing. And you met a man and fell in love?
Yes.
And he was Australian, is that right?
That's right.
God, the things that happen when you're traveling. And, can you do a shout out to him now?
What's that mean? Sorry?
You can say hello to him now if you want.
Oh, yeah, hello.
We're going to talk more about that after the break because off air, Josh Kuhn and I were talking about LBGTI. Rights and lives Turkey, and that it's there's a lot of challenges in some areas, but there's also some freedom in others. So we're going to talk a bit more about that after the break.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Now listen, we're talking
the voice of the nation.
Oh, it is. It should be. Don't you think?
But we're talking about another nation today. We're talking Turkey.
Turkey. Now listen, Josh Kuhn, Mark and I are very interested in Turkey's national sport, which I understand is oil wrestling. Is that something you've participated in during your years in Turkey?
Probably not.
Have you seen the pictures of oil wrestling, Mark?
I have seen you looking at the pictures.
They just keep coming. They just keep coming up on my Facebook page. I'm not sure what that's all about, but very
maybe search history.
Well, don't go there. But that is one of their national sports, isn't it?
It is.
Oil wrestling. Yeah. You just pour oil all over yourself.
These leather pants.
Then you wrestle. So it looks very.
It's quite the spectacle.
It is quite the spectacle. They're very muscular. Yeah. Butch looking men. It certainly isn't something that I would be able to do. But, I'm proud to have a Turk in the room who has. Have you seen one live, Joshua?
Not really. No, I haven't.
I actually. One of the things that I. My friends of mine have seen Turkish wrestling, and they loved it. The other thing that I highly recommend on trip to Turkey, you must have had a haman.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh,
God. Have you had a haman?
Yes, I have.
I'll tell you what was your experience of haman like?
Oh, I mean, like...
Perhaps tell everybody what a haman is.
It's a Turkish bath, but it's not just for gay people, but traditionally...
It's not Wellington kind of...
No. It's actually, when I used to live in Istanbul, every Sunday where I used to live, it's almost like a walk away and from my house. And every Sunday, just go to the Turkish bath, which is very local. And you walk in, change, they give you all the towel to cover yourself, go in... lie on this very hot marble,
like a big bed, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, like a bench.
Yeah, it's made of marble.
You do get a very hot bottom on that, don't you?
Not just that.
I know. God, it can cook you.
And so you just lie down for a couple of minutes, and then the guy came with soap and just scrub you.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's very exfoliating, isn't it? It's very relaxing.
Yeah. Very relaxing.
Mm. You know, I must admit that I have only had it done once, and I thought, well, all in. Yeah. You've got to go in and do it. And so I went in with friends, and their scrubbers were really, really good looking. So I was sort of...
And did you have a scrubber?
I had the worst scrubber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was hurting me. I'm going, ow. And all he kept saying to me is, you are a very dirty man.
Normally you pay for that.
But... Yeah. But it was a wonderful experience. You do walk out of there feeling...
A million bucks.
Oh, you do. Mm. Yeah, they're incredible, these Turkish baths. Highly, highly recommend it to everybody.
Mm, definitely.
So the other thing that I did research on that everybody will know about is the good old Turkish delight. Now, it's about 500 years old. I didn't know that it had been around for that
long. I think one of them was given to me for Christmas. Oh, 500-year-old Turkish delight.
Do you like Turkish delight, Josh Kuhn, or is
time
it?
To time, yes, but not my favourite.
No. So there's another reason to go to this restaurant because of, there are so many different types of yummy desserts in Turkey, aren't they?
Yeah, there is, so many. I mean, again, like everyone thinks it's all about baklavas, but other than baklavas, we have all the desserts based on milk. And also rice, like rice pudding. Mm. So we call it sütlaç.
Sütlaç.
Yeah, there's actually another story with that. It is always in our menus. So sütlaç is actually a rice pudding. It's cooked, the rice cooked with milk and also, milk and sugar. And so in Turkey, when you have that, it's always cold, set, and lots of cinnamon on top. Ah. But at the restaurant, we're still using my mom's recipe, but we serve it warm. Its reason is, when you're living with your family, it's a small house, open kitchen, and when she start making the rice pudding, it's the whole house is smell like milk, cream, cinnamon,
it's nice smells.
It's beautiful, and when you're a boy, when you're naughty, you couldn't stop. I could eating when it's warm.
Yeah.
And remember, she's putting on top of the fridge that, you know, I couldn't reach.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're naughty, nothing can stop you.
Exactly.
So I keep eating when it's warm.
You should get that on your T-shirt, Russ. When you're naughty, nothing can stop you.
I might wear that to wet tonight. God, that sounds so yummy. What about the you've actually got just pudding shops in Istanbul, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so what is the story behind all these different types of puddings? Is it just someone very clever got together and just made all these different desserts, and they're very popular?
It's a part of culture. It's like, you know, in the modern cities like here, you've got coffee shops.
Mm.
So instead of going to coffee shops, we have the dessert shops.
Yeah.
So you have all like those that. Desserts, muhallebis, mm-hmm. baklavas, and rice puddings, and then the Turkish tea on the side.
There's a lot of very strong Arab influence in the Turkish kitchen. Like muhallebiya is a very popular Lebanese.
And again, like from the which region you are.
Yeah.
So from the
eastern side, more Arab influence.
That's right.
Yeah, the western side of Turkish. What's the difference in the influences there?
Oh, like if you do
more Greek?
It's become more vegetables and then slow cooking, one pot dishes, olive oil base, olives base.
Mediterranean.
Exactly.
Right.
Seafood. And if you go to East, it's the more spice and more meat based on dishes.
Yeah, right. So that's where the Arab influence comes in. Yeah, right.
And so you did you basically just take your mum's recipe book and say, you know what, I'm...
Did she know you took it?
Yes, she does, but she doesn't know exactly what I do. I'm scared to talk to her about that.
Well, you know what was interesting that I found out? That Turkey introduced coffee to Europe, a bit like Melbourne to Australia.
Yes.
Yeah, did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Through Austria.
Yes.
And that's where the croissant came from, which is a Viennese... And that was Turkish influence in Vienna.
Hmm.
Oh, see, we had this show before with
Have you ever had a Turkish coffee?
Yeah.
Well, I had a Turkish coffee.
Cardamom.
I had a Turkish coffee at this hotel I was at, and I was feeling a bit seedy after a night and all of that stuff. Anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm stirring away, and I thought I won't have a sip just yet.
Yeah,
and
that's sad.
And anyway, my my spoon melted, and I thought, there is no way am I drinking this stuff.
What was the spoon made of?
All of the waiters and waitresses were pissing themselves laughing. It was made out of chocolate. But I thought it was a wooden spoon, and this coffee there was something in it that had made it disintegrate. And I thought,
the heat.
I'm not touching that, but it was a very nice coffee. It's got a nice
very
sting.
Chocolatey.
It was. It's got a nice sting to it, the old Turkish coffee. It certainly has.
Yeah.
You know, one place that I have never been to, and I work in travel, and I've got to get there one day. What is Gallipoli like?
Which is where your mum's from.
That's right, yeah. And also, you know, they moved back almost 5-6 years ago. It's the like an island.
Yeah, like peninsula.
Peninsula.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's a small, beautiful.
Very hard to attack.
Exactly.
That's what we found out 100-odd years ago.
It is.
Because it's on everyone's list as...
it's very safe as Australians. Because of the mythology that grew up around Gallipoli.
Exactly. So, you know, we often, anyone who comes into the agency would say, oh, look, I want to go to Turkey, I want to go to Cappadocia, I want to go to Istanbul, and then, of course, on the list, must is I need to get to Gallipoli.
Gallipoli, yeah.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is The Escape Hour, your food and travel show. My name's Russ. We're here with Mark Adams today. And we've got Josh Kuhn in the studio from Turkey. Josh Kuhn, as a Arab country and...
Not Arab.
No, it's not Arab. No, I got that really wrong. Thank you. I'm glad I've got... See, this is why we need to be checked.
Muslim, yes, Muslim, not Arab.
Muslim, goodness me. Yeah. That's a faux pas, and I'm a travel agent, and I should know.
Yeah.
Nobody perfect. Right. Nobody perfect.
We'll push through, Russ.
All right.
Thank you, boys.
As a Muslim country...
It's secular, though.
It is.
Sorry, Russ, to ruin everything for you.
I have.
How are the gay and lesbian rights?
Why don't you tell the story, Josh?
Look, obviously I'm gay.
Yes.
And Istanbul is a big, big cosmopolitan city. Mm. But Istanbul is not just Turkey.
No.
Yeah. So if you are if you are outside of Istanbul, and then it's become difficult.
Yes.
And so, you know, most people, like my friends, they know who I am.
Yes.
But I have to be always careful, and you know, I have to control myself.
Right.
You know, like the way that what I'm thinking. About, you know, this gay and lesbian stuff. And it's not an easy place to live if you're gay.
Now, and is there laws surrounding...
You're not allowed to be.
Okay, fair enough.
But there is a community of LGBTI people.
There is. Yes. Very strong till last probably 3 years ago.
So Erdogan.
Yes. So, you know, this... I don't know what to say. Yeah, but he's
a difficult man.
He's Voldemort.
I can't find the words to describe him.
It's probably best you don't, because we're on air.
Yeah. But we used to, like, Istanbul, you know, there's a street called İstiklal Caddesi, so mm-hmm. one of the big main street. And there used to, like, once a year there's a gay pride.
Yes.
And before I moved here, so my apartment is actually just right on that street.
Ah.
So, and when it, you know, when the pride is happening, so you have to have all the permissions from the local government and everywhere. They said, yeah, no problem. So when it's happened, there was a big, it's almost like a third war. And so the police came, tried to stop, and then the people want to, you know, walk and do the, you know, pride walk.
March, yeah. Yep.
And the police have to use for tear guns.
Tear gas. Yes.
And so it was like disaster, and since then there is no
pride march.
No, not more, not anymore.
Yep. See, it just you know, this sort of thing we take for granted in Australia, what we've got here as given rights. And it's difficult in a place like Istanbul, obviously, where there is a gay population because it's such a big city.
And, there is.
And they can't have a pride march there. So
even like no Grindr, no social medias.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's I've just got back from Indonesia, and it was exactly the same there.
Yeah.
You can't get onto any of the social meeting apps in Indonesia. So mm-hmm. it is very difficult indeed. But that's no reason not to go there. I mean, as tourists, what we generally tell anyone on the Escape Hour who's listening in, that you just go there and respect local laws,
exactly.
And you're not going to get to a hotel and where you've booked a double bed, and they're going to say no, we're going to put you in two singles. Mm-hmm. It's
all you have to be, just be careful. It's still happening. It's big gay community there. There's lots of things that happen all around. But if you're on a public or street, you need to be just careful.
Have you got some favourite restaurants in Istanbul that people visiting there should go to?
Oh, yes. There's lots, actually, you know.
So where does someone LGBTI stay to be most comfortable in Istanbul?
I would definitely say in a big hotels rather than small ones.
Right.
The big hotels, as you know, they have securities and, like five-star international hotels. Mm. I would definitely recommend those things. The only reason is not just for the service, it's the security.
Mm.
And
the interesting other thing about those bigger hotel chains is they're often they're trained differently
because the international they've got standards to uphold that are global expectations.
Yeah, it's you know they're trained to deal with members of different society and different communities. So they're not, it's not a shock to them that someone's going to want a double bed or someone's going to want what you know might be considered a bizarre request. It's just the way they are. So, So your restaurants in Istanbul, is there a particular favourite that you think that we should go to?
There is loads, but one, my favourite, it's called Aheste. It's a very small local, we call it mehane, which is like...
Where you get your dips?
There's lots of dips there, but no kebabs. So you start with lots of dips and the raku. Okay. Yeah, aniseed.
So explain raki.
Yeah.
Or arak.
Exactly. Yeah. Same things. And so you start with those and then order lots of fish, lots of vegetable courses, and then finish the dessert. But it is, what makes it beautiful, this place, is that I know the chef and I know the owners, but it is not just knowing those people, but I know they cook it with their heart. Uh-huh. And it's really like, it's not just like modern, they also try to use the cuisine as a base and then put on to make it like modernize. Mm. So it's, I quite like that place.
Okay.
Research is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, what did you find? You know, what did you uncover?
Yogurt, believe it or not, was discovered in Istanbul 6000 BC.
Really?
I know. Yeah. Did you ever see? Josh Kuhn knows that one.
It's even
what's
like
the story of yogurt, Josh Kuhn?
If you must know, if the lots of tourists is, it's found in Kanlıca, which is another small town in Istanbul, so just across the Bosphorus, and there is a, you know, the coffee shops around here, so there's a yogurt shop. So they just serve you yogurt. If you want, ooh, plain yogurt, so nice. Or powder, sugar powder on top.
Sugar, oh, okay, like
icing sugar.
Icing sugar,
yeah.
Okay. Do they have any other flavours or is it just both, two? Okay, that's enough.
Mm.
Okay. It's good yogurt.
Well, and the other thing, of course, and, you know, I'm a little
it's all
bit
probiotics
of,
to me.
Well, a little bit of, oh, it is, isn't it? Mango lassi, I'll tell you what. I can't go wrong with that.
The like other clockwork.
I'm sure you won't want to talk about this one, but kebabs were founded in Turkey in 1600 BC.
Well, yeah.
So they've been eating kebabs for quite some time. Do you like a kebab?
I do like a kebab. Yeah, I think they're really good. Yeah.
No. But anyway,
I had a halloumi kebab not long ago. It was very nice.
The other interesting fact that I'm going to see if Josh Kuhn knows this, but Santa Claus is from Turkey.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas.
I was a bit excited about that.
Saint.
This is from a place called Petura. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, so if there you if you're looking for, he's not at the North Pole.
No.
He's having some kebabs and yogurt in Petura after he's had his hammam tonight.
Yeah. They'll tuck into some dips later. So what do you think? I know that this is a very difficult question because Turkish politics is complex. What do you think is going to happen to LGBTI people in Turkey over the next few years? Are things going to continue to look grim, or do you think that there'll be a turnaround at some stage and people can live a more free life?
I hope so, but I can't see the future that bright.
Right.
You know, I think that's going to be our last problem. So we have
other problems.
More serious problems. So I hope we're going to dissolve that problems first, then we go discuss about the gay and lesbian.
Right.
I think we have more serious problem than that.
But what I wanted to get across to listeners is you can go to return airfare from Melbourne to Istanbul or most capital cities in Australia is only about $1,200.
Is that all?
Oh, it's dirt cheap.
It's a commute.
Oh, it is. It's a long commute, but we'll get you there. It's safe, isn't it?
It's very safe. Yeah.
And I think, you know, sometimes...
Not if you're a Saudi journalist.
Well, no. True. How true is that? They do have
that
a lot
was
of...
Really the Saudis.
They do have a lot of journalists in incarceration, but... You know, it's sometimes places get bad press and they shouldn't. And you know,
but in general, Istanbul for a big city is not known for having a lot of street crime and a lot of difficulties. And people can walk around most of it, 24 hours a day. That's the reputation that it has.
True.
Why is there no street crime? Is it just because they're well policed, or is it just the Turkish national attitude to people is live and let live?
Cities never sleep. It's like bright everywhere, like 7:24, and lots of people all around. I mean, again, like in any big cities in the world, you need to be careful. You need to look around what's happening. But same in Istanbul. It's not. While I was living there, nothing has happened to me. Even like, you know, going home 2-3 o'clock in the morning. But it is quite safe place to visit.
Mm. You must have a garden full of tulips.
Tulips. Well, what a segue.
Tulips are from Turkey. They're not from Netherlands.
Oh, my Dutch god.
Oh, my. That's right.
Tell you what,
the Dutch won't be happy with that. But no, tulips are from Turkey.
Are they really Turkish?
True.
And they were gifted to Holland. So there you
go. And did Holland take the ball and run with it like
Well,
Forrest
I tell
Gump.
You what, they were men.
But nationalised the flower.
No, and the dyke. But they certainly are from Turkey, the tulips, aren't they?
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Mm. And the other interesting fast fact about Turkey, because we are getting close to time, can you believe, Josh, can you know this, that you can actually go on a tunnel and you can go from one continent to another, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
You can.
From Europe?
From Europe to east-west, so that's what we
from
say.
Europe to Asia, which is pretty exciting. Are you going to ask him the question?
No, it's your turn.
Okay. We've got a very special question for you, Josh Gordon.
Oh, dear.
Brace yourself,
Josh. Don't be afraid. I mean, everybody, it is a difficult one, but we need to know if you fold or roll.
What's that mean?
When you pack your luggage.
Oh.
Not when you go to the toilet.
What? Explain that to me.
Yeah. So when you pack your luggage, do you roll the clothes together or do you fold?
Oh, fold.
Yeah.
You look like a folding guy. You're well presented and you've got a fantastic restaurant that we're going to.
Tulum.
No kebabs there, but there is plenty of, other stuff from Mum, isn't there?
Yes.
There is. One final question. What's your ultimate travel tip? What do you recommend, not just in Turkey, in general, what do you recommend people always do?
Don't know. I reckon it'd be to fly business.
Avoid kebabs.
eat lots of pudding.
Milk pudding.
Or fly business.
When are you going back to Turkey next?
Hopefully next year, middle of next year.
Okay, and when's the best time to go?
I'm a summer boy, so I love Turkey when it's hot.
You've got that Mediterranean tan happening. We can vouch for that. We can vouch that. Well, you are on Joy 94.9. This has been our Turkey show, and we wish everybody a really Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We're going to be seeing everybody next weekend, aren't we, Mark?
I'll be here, yes.
We'll be here for our New Year's Eve show. God, we're going to go off, aren't we?
We're going to go off like a frog in a sock, Russ. Thank you very much, Josh Coon.
Thank you very much.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.